The Bible says that the Spirit of God in us will make our flesh alive.
Amen.
Come on, if you're down and out, it'll make your flesh alive.
Amen.
That means your mind, that means your body. If you're sick, He will make your body alive.
Yes.
You got to know this, that the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus, the Bible says He raised up Jesus. The Holy Spirit raised up Jesus.
Right.
He's the power part that raised up Christ from the dead.
Amen.
And that same Spirit lives in you and quickens you, makes you alive.
Yes.
What does that mean? That means you never have to die? No, it just means you can live healthy till you do. And then He would raise you up and resurrect your body one day. But right now we access that for healing. We access the Holy Spirit. Anytime, any day, every day, everywhere, He can make us alive on the our flesh. He can make it from the inside out. He can make us alive.
Amen.
Romans 8:11. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. And if so, then He will make you alive, make your mortal flesh alive. So if you get sick or you feel a symptom, what do? Holy Spirit, make me alive. You said You'd make me alive. He'll make me alive. Making me alive. Making me alive. Holy Spirit's in there making me alive. I'm stirring up for that. Okay, thanks God. Thanks God. Thanks God.
Amen.
Amen.
You have to activate it. You can't just sit there thinking it.
That's right.
Come on, this is how you get miracles. You got to tap in. You got to believe a truth and tap into a truth. All right. Praise the Lord. There's your first wind sprint tonight, because tonight's faith training night. You know, maybe you don't realize it, but really every time I come to church to do something, I'm thinking training.
Yes.
I'm not thinking give a message. Honestly, I'm not thinking I'm going to give them a message with an introduction and a body and a conclusion. And what did they say in school? To first unveil what you're going to do and then do it and then tell them what you did. No, I don't think that way. I'm not here to give a 4-point message. I'm not here just to teach, just to say some things, just to give some fancy Bible lesson. I'm here to train. I think of it as training. I'm thinking, man, we got to get this. We all got to get this. And if there's anybody new, they got to get this. And if there's anybody old, they got to remember this. Because we're doing something. We're like an army training. We're soldiers in the Lord. We're serious about this. We've got an earth life to live and dominate. We've got a devil to squash and keep under our feet. We've got promises to receive. We've got a Christian life to live. We've got a purpose to fulfill. We've got a call of God on us. And so that takes training. All those words emphasize something else or insinuate that there's some real training that's necessary. This is not just getting along day. This is not just encouragement. Well, I go to church to be encouraged. I don't come to encourage you. I'm sorry, I don't ever think that in the office. Lord, I just want to encourage them. I don't think that. Johnny said, that's why I have her. That's why we have other people to do that. I just don't think I'm going to encourage them. I think, whoo, man, I'm going to get them.
Yeah.
I think, whoo, God, let your Spirit be there to touch everybody. I want everybody to see it. I want everybody on fire. I want them to catch it. Catch what? Catch this thing that causes us to succeed. There's a fire of the Holy Spirit that'll cause us to succeed. You got to catch that. That can't be taught. You have to catch this thing. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. It's a gospel atmosphere. It's something that carries us, something that thrusts us. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. It's the kingdom of God. It's like, I want you to get on the roller coaster. I want you to get on the train with us. It's a kingdom of God train.
Amen.
And you got to be on it. You can't just watch it. Wow, look at the train. You got to be on it. And to jump on it, it takes faith. You got to catch it. You got to... See how hard it is to describe? That's why we keep doing this. That's why we keep training and have new things to do and new things to say and teach and preach. And... So anyway, we're going to do some faith training tonight, even though that's kind of what we always do in my mind. But we're going to do some exercise and we're going to do some practicing, because sometimes people, you know, it's like if a football player went and sat on the sideline and watched the coaches show them how to do all the drills and then went and took a shower. They're not going to be ready for the game. If all the team did was watch film, they're not going to be practiced enough with the right rhythm and the right routine to make it happen. They've learned how to do it. They've just not practiced how to do it. So when it comes down to doing it, they can't do it. So you need the teaching aspect, and then you need the practicing aspect. And I think sometimes so often we only have enough time to come here for a couple hours. And then we go home and we don't have any time. We don't spend any time practicing. And then when a miracle happens, it's like, oh, I don't know what to do. Help, 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 God, help, God, help, God. And that's not good enough.
Right.
Have you noticed?
Yeah.
It's not enough. Now, if you're ever in need, you can always call on help and he'll help you. I'm not saying he won't. But there's just a little bit more to it. So anyway, let's open the Bible here to Mark chapter 10 first. And just kind of launch us here in who we really are. You know, not all Christians are the same.
Okay.
You understand? Not all Christians are strong. Not all Christians are full of confidence. Not all Christians understand the things the same way. Not all Christians carry the same attitude. All right? You have to think about this. Go back to the beginning with Jesus. It was him and 12 others. And imagine if you got to train, if Jesus was your trainer, because he trained his disciples 3.5 years. You know, all day, every day, 3.5 years. Think about how they must have looked and sounded and all that. Probably the same. Different personalities, different gifts, but they had the same attitude. And when they didn't have the same attitude, he said, how come you don't have the same attitude? When they were jockeying for position, he said, you don't even know what you're talking about. You can't do that. When one of them didn't have faith, he said, how come you're doubting? When none of them had faith, he said, what's wrong with you people? When only one got out of the boat, he said, what's wrong with y'all? When they were scared about it. So he's getting everybody in one accord. So in one accord means same attitude. Doesn't mean same personality or same gifts or everybody has to. But it does mean same something. One accord means same something. And so we're looking for whatever that is. Whatever we're supposed to be, we want to be.
Amen.
Whatever Jesus is, we want to be.
Yes.
Whatever his character is, we want the same. Whatever his attitude is, we want the same. Don't you want the same attitude as your master?
Amen.
Sure.
Yes.
Whatever he sees, you want to see. Whatever he says, you want to say. So we're mimicking the master. So there's an element that we're all going to be kind of the same.
Right.
And what we realize is that we walk into the scripture and we see some things that open up a huge door of possibility. And that's what makes us faith people.
Yes.
Faith people is not just religious people. Faith people are those who really believe God.
Glory.
Not believe in God, but believe Him.
That's right.
There's a difference. And so let's talk about that difference for a little while, then we'll do our calisthenics. I mean, we'll do our workout, our Tai Chi. Mark chapter 10, verse 20 something, maybe 7 or so. Just a simple scripture. Jesus looked at them, verse 27, and said, with men it's impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Oh, that's a good foundation there. All things are with God all things are possible. Do you understand that? With God all things are possible? With God all things are possible.
Yeah.
Now you could post that on Facebook, kind of cute, put a little background. But let's think about it for a moment. With God all things are possible. So do any of you have any seeming impossibilities? Right now, do you have any impossibilities?
Yeah.
Do you have any challenges? Do you have anything that looked like a little bit hopeless? With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
With God, and you're with God, then it's all possible to get fixed. It's all possible to get better. It's all possible to succeed and overcome. With God, it's all possible.
Amen.
Go to Mark chapter 9. Now let's add a little bit to that. So there's one brick. Let's add the second brick. This is when they brought Jesus, the demon-possessed boy, and the father says, help. Jesus says, or verse 20, they brought to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he's thrown him into both to the fire and to the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Notice that principle. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible. So it's all possible with God.
Yes.
But then there's another brick, another step. It's all possible to him who believes. If you can believe, then it's possible. So in theory, it's all possible with God, but in practicality, you're going to have to believe it to make it possible for you.
Yes. Amen.
Simple. But most people don't understand that. So it does require you believing it. It's not just possible because God is omnipotent and sovereign and powerful and can do anything. It's possible because you believe that He will. If you can believe, it's all possible to him who believes. So right there, all of a sudden, we have to decide, am I going to believe the Bible? Will I believe God's word? And then another step would be believing in your heart when the Spirit leads you. But in essence, will I believe every scripture? Will I believe every scripture, rightly divided, rightly preached, rightly interpreted? Will I believe every single principle and let it transform me? Let it change the way I see things. Let it change the way I think. You know, faith people think differently. Faith people talk differently. Faith people live this Christian life differently. Faith people are just different. We don't do anything with religious tradition being the utmost guide. We do it with the Word of God being the utmost guide. If the Word of God says it, we do it. If the Word of God doesn't say it, then we might not do it. And we can all have some preferences here and there. You know, some people like to kneel when they pray. Some people like to stand when they pray. The Bible doesn't say either direction. You don't have to kneel. You don't have to stand. You don't have to bow. You don't have to lay prostrate. You can do any of you if you want to. But it doesn't have any command on which way.
Amen.
Jesus stood praying one time. One time he closed his eyes and bowed his head and prayed. One time he looked up to heaven and prayed. So you can do any which way. Now some may be more comfortable for you, but don't turn it into a ritual. So don't turn human things into a ritual. You're going to mess up.
Right.
You're going to then begin to put weight on something that's not even scriptural. And your faith will be on, well, I didn't bow, so I wonder if God's going to hear me. Okay, I'll bow, God. Sorry, I wasn't bowing. You just get weird about it because you're not being scriptural about it. So faith people put everything on the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God and eliminate so much burden because religion will put burden on you. We eliminate the burden and we just go for Scripture. Because this is the only certainty we have.
Amen.
And then some people say, well, yeah, man has interpreted it, though. So a lot of people, how you interpret it? The right way? Yeah, let's read the Bible. Let's read one page and we can figure out exactly what it's saying. Guarantee it. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Guarantee it. Yeah, but what about all those other translations? Get them all. It'll all say the same thing. And if there's a conflict, we'll go to the original text and we'll figure out exactly what it means.
All right.
The Bible is not up for private interpretation.
That's right. That's right.
No prophecy, no scripture is given for private interpretation.
That's right.
So we can't go around the room and say, well, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? What does that mean to you? How do you interpret that? How do you interpret that? We don't do that around here.
Right.
Now, we might ask, what did you see out of that? And what did you see out of that? And you can see a whole bunch out of one scripture. You might see 10 different things. It doesn't mean it's interpreted differently or wrongly or somebody's got it right, somebody's got it. No, it just means we saw something different. And then you got to prove it out. So how do you interpret scripture? With other scripture. How do you know every scripture you read has to be interpreted with some other scripture? Simple as that. Anyway, faith people think this way. We're devoted to the Word of God. Word of God has to have first place in our life, has to have second place in our life, has to have final place in our life. Anything in life that you need to know, do, think, decide on, first thought should be, what does the Word say?
Yes.
In particular, what does the New Testament say? What does the Word of God say? Every time you come up against a challenge or a decision point, what does the Word say? You can use it for your life.
That's right.
Young person going through life, you run up against a decision, a friend, a thought, a temptation, a opportunity. Your first question should be, wait, what does the Word say? Mm-hmm. Simple as that. Every adult, what does the Word say? Yes. Business opportunity. What does the Word say? Yes. Friend, possible friend, what does the Word say? Possible mate, what does the Word say? Possible money decision, what does the Word say?
Awesome.
Faith people are just different. And, you know, we see all things are possible. We faith people gain a confidence that the world doesn't have. Faith people have a confidence in life that the world doesn't have. So much so that we can talk about death and not even be moved. You know, Paul gave us, the prediction of what's coming, that the voice of the archangel and the trump of God's going to happen.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And then Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
And those that are dead are going to rise first. Those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be with the Lord forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he says, comfort one another with these words. I write these things that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. We don't even have to sorrow like others.
Amen.
He wrote it so you wouldn't have to sorrow like others who have no hope.
Yeah.
So we're just different.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Notice it's not just believe and have faith, it's also don't doubt. So he never really, the principle of prayer is to believe and have faith and also don't doubt. He didn't say have some faith and some doubt. He has some faith and no doubt.
Okay.
Whatever you ask in prayer, believing without doubting, he will do it.
Yeah.
So in order for us to make, with God, he's unlimited. God is unlimited. Joni did a series years ago, a message called God Unlimited. I've always loved that one. Nobody knows what that means, but it was good. God Unlimited. That means that all the possibilities are there with God. He's unlimited. These scriptures make him unlimited. The only limit is the scriptures. The only limit to God is what he has confined himself to, which is his word. God decided exactly how he would be with us. He told us exactly how he would be, what he would do, how he thought about us, what he expected. He told us exactly. And if you put yourself in here, stand on any one of these, you can have anything that it says.
Yes.
You can have anything that it says.
Amen.
Anything that it says.
Thank you, Lord.
Never have to be discouraged if you stand. Put yourself right in here and stand on something and know for sure. We've talked many times on being fully convinced, no doubting. Now, that's a challenge for some. How do we get to this place of fully convinced? How do we not doubt? I believe it, but I think I do. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Do you believe what we've said so far? Do you have any doubts? In theory, we say very easily, I have no doubts. But when the rubber meets the road, how are you going to feel? When I was early on in the Lord, I was reading some scripture, found out that God would answer prayer, found out that God would meet financial needs. And I had one because I had left my career, went into the ministry, didn't have much income. And I think at the time I didn't have any income. And I needed some money. I needed $143, or maybe it was $134. I get the two digits mixed up these days. $11 difference, no big deal. $9 difference, no big deal. And I needed it for a wedding. I think I just recently told this, but I needed it because my friend asked me to be in his wedding, had to get a tux, had to get a wedding gift, and had to play in the golf tournament, you know, the bachelor party daytime portion only.
Yes.
Golf tournament. Or golf outing, whatever. And so I calculated, okay, $134, God, in Jesus' name, I ask you for it. And I receive it. And in doing that, I'm a little bit intimidated. This is my first time to ever ask God for money. I'm a little bit intimidated thinking, oh, I'm about to put to practice what I've been hearing. Oh, I've got to really trust God here. Oh, I'm putting myself out there. Now, I'm basing this on what I know about God. He said He'd meet my needs. He said, anything I ask in prayer, believing I shall receive. Okay, here I go. I think I wrote it down, $134. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Amen. That week, letter in the mail, $50 bill. That's all that was in there. $50 bill from a cousin. No note, no nothing, just $50 bill. I thought that's the first time I ever got money in the mail if it wasn't my birthday or some special thing. I knew it was straight from God. I don't know how the other money came, but I remember a few little things happened and I got some money. I mean, I wasn't at zero. You understand. That was a big deal. You ever had to believe God for $134? You ever had to believe God for a $500? $2,500? $5.3
million?
The point is... The point is, at some point, you have to practice. You have to step out where you can. Okay, I only have you know, a leap span of, you know, that far, just 3 feet, right? That's as far as I can really step. I can't step to, from 134 to $5 million. I can't go from benching 185 to 350. You got to practice. And you got to step out in faith on what you do know and what you can do and what you need to do. So you have to learn how to trust God. It's a gradual process here. Same thing with healing. You want to start with whatever little nick you got. Right? You want to start now and learn how to get healed from a little tiny thing. You really do. You need to go ahead and do that. Now, if you have a big thing already, well, just come and let us help you get the power to you. Just believe real strongly that all things are possible through somebody else.
All right.
Do that. At the same time, everybody else, start practicing where you're at so that when it does come, you'll be ready for it. All right? Faith takes practice. Walking by faith, receiving miracles, learning how to connect to God in times of need takes a little practice. Okay? And the first thing you got to do is you got to be on the practice field. And you can learn some things when you're playing a real game, but you got to do a lot on the practice field. How many hours do the team spend on the practice field? How much batting practice do you really need to take? A lot. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. And then we're going to practice. Ephesians 2. I just want to read this passage. I couldn't get away from it. Verse 1. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. You know that all unsaved people are the children of wrath. Do you know that God's wrath, it's not a personal thing, it's just on every unsaved person. You understand that? He's not mad at them, He loves them, but the wrath of God covers all unsaved people. You were once there, now you're not.
Thank you, God.
But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Here's one of those love scriptures. Okay, now when you read that, let's go ahead and run a practice play. When you read that, he's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. It's when you're supposed to pause and say, wait, he loved me. So let's say it out loud. Say, God loves me.
He loves me.
Great love with which he loved me. God's rich in mercy toward me.
Great love toward me.
Great love with which he loved me.
Great love with which he loved me.
God, you loved me with great love.
Wow.
Thanks.
Thank you, God.
How about that? How about that? That's how you overcome those mornings when you wake up or the nights when you go to bed thinking that you failed God and he's not happy and how have you disappointed him and you're mad at yourself. Why don't you get this scripture out and say, wait, great love with which he loved me. Oh, he's rich in mercy. Ooh, I need that. I need rich in mercy. Thanks for being so rich in mercy to me. And then you can holler it through the house. Hey, honey, did you know what great love with which he loved me? Okay, now what am I doing here? I'm doing what faith people do. I'm practicing. I'm following Scripture. I'm going to prove it to you that this is how you do the Word. This is the first step in doing the Word. First, you believe the Word. First, somebody has to preach the Word. Second, somebody has to hear the Word. Third, that hearing person has to believe the Word. And then they have to do the Word. This is the first thing in doing the Word is saying it. There's a reason to say it. You have to respond to the Word. You can't just think it and read it. The Bible is not a normal book. Do you realize this is not a normal book? You can't treat it like a normal book. You can't look at it like a normal book and say, well, I already read that book. It's a living organism. It's a person. These words come alive. So you got to say it, and then it lives. You got to say it, and then it kicks up. The Spirit quickens it, makes the Scripture come alive and do something in you. Because the Spirit needs the truth. He needs the Word to start working in us. Even when we were dead, verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice it's present tense. This is not future tense. Technically, you're already raised up with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. That's how we can say that that earth's not my home. I'm already with him in heavenly places. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I just wanted to get to that. I read all that to get to that final deal. That in the ages to come, that means since the cross of Jesus Christ, that's the ages, the last ages began then. The ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So let's practice that. I'm about to go to bed, had a tough day, big stuff happening. God, you're showing me your kindness in Christ Jesus. Say it out loud. Say, you're showing me your kindness in Christ Jesus. Oh, the whole thing was to show me kindness. Wow. The whole plan was to show me kindness in Christ Jesus. Listen, God's plan is to show you his kindness. He wants to be kind to us. He wants to be good and kind and loving and show us all the value that he's put in us. Show us how worthy you are of his love. Show us how blessed. He wants to just bless us. Be kind to us. That's what he's thinking.
Yes.
Wonderful God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians right after 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's a term called the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Meaning the attitude of faith. The atmosphere of faith. An attribute of faith. A facet of faith. The spirit of faith. The thing that motivates the internal makeup of faith. The generator inside faith. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what's written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. You got it? That's what faith does. The spirit of faith is believe it and speak it. Got it? The spirit of faith is believe something, write of God, and speak it. Say it. Command it. Declare it. Get it rolling around in you.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Woo!
Glory.
Now let's do a little practicing. Go to Psalm chapter, maybe we'll start with 25. Psalm 25. Remember over in Joshua, he said, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Right?
Yes.
Meditate in it day and night all the time. Don't let it leave your eyes or your heart. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. But you can't let the Word of God leave you. It says to meditate on it day and night. Now that's not hold your fingers together in some weird sitting position and meditate and hum and do weird things. No, that's not meditation. That's Eastern garbage stuff. True meditation means to mutter. It's a Hebrew word, means to mutter, to repeat, to say, to think on the things of God. The Word of God. So now we're talking about not letting the Word of God wait for me on Sunday. This is a daily thing. This is you. Each one of us has to mutter it, think on it, remind ourselves. Because why? Because that's what faith does. Faith believes it and then says it. So there's a reason why we confess Scripture. There's a reason why we declare it and say it out loud, remind ourselves and go back to it. I'm still going back to the same basic Scriptures that I learned my first year in the Lord. Yep. I'm still muttering those. I still have to go back to those, get my feet planted on them again. Anytime I'm going to endeavor on any direction to believe God or trust God or need a miracle, I go back to those same stepping stones so that I have a place to stand. The only place to stand is God's Word. I can't go to God and say, God, now that $134 you gave me, I need you to give me some more. No, I can't stand on some past testimony. I stand on the truth. I have to go back to the same Word. Now, my heart's bigger. My trust factor's bigger. But I'm standing on the same Word. I'm not standing on somebody else's testimony. Well, you know, you did it for so-and-so. That can inspire you to go after God. Somebody else's story can inspire you to believe like they believed. It can inspire you to get your nose in the Word of God like they did. It can inspire you to step out and take a risk in the name of the Lord with a scripture or 10.
All right.
But your faith can't be based on that. That's the inspiration for your faith. Your faith has to be in the Lord, in the Word of God. You got it? So let's practice. Psalm 25. You may feel like a team would feel with a coach. The coach keeps doing his speech and they're like, come on, let's just go out there and take batting practice. Verse 12, Psalm 25, verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant.
Thank you, God.
Nice psalm. Let's make a song out of it. Right. Or let's practice it. So let's go back. Who's the man that fears the Lord? That's me.
Right.
Say it out loud. Say, I fear the Lord.
I fear the Lord.
I respect God.
I respect God.
I fear the Lord.
I fear the Lord.
I respect the Lord.
I
reverence Him.
I honor
Him.
I honor Him.
So I qualify.
I qualify.
All right, so here we go. You qualify. Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. God's going to teach me in the way He chooses. Woo, glory.
That's good news.
He Himself shall dwell in prosperity. There, that solves it right there. Go ahead and say it. Say, I dwell in prosperity. I dwell in prosperity. I dwell in prosperity.
Yeah.
I'm prosperous. Wow, God said I'm prosperous. God says I dwell in prosperity. Prosperity? They said prosperity preachers were bad. They said the prosperity message was not of God. Well, I don't know what they're referring to, but this says, I don't have to argue with anybody. I don't know what they're even talking about. I have no idea what they're talking about. I care not to know exactly what they're referring to. What examples do you have? Who are you speaking of? I know there's an issue. I know that some have gone overboard. I don't really care. For me, I'm dwelling in prosperity. I got me a scripture. What does prosperity mean? That means I have plenty. And then a little extra. I have plenty and then a little extra on this side and that side. I have plenty plus more. I got enough to give to the poor, put in store, and buy a church door.
That's good.
The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. What's the secret of the Lord? I can't tell you. It's a secret. Don't you know the secret? I can't tell you. I'm sure we could do a whole teaching on the secret of the Lord, but the truth is, why don't you just say it out loud? Say, the secret of the Lord is with me. It's with those who fear Him. God, I want to know the secret. Pastor wouldn't tell me. The secret, thanks for sharing the secret with me, God. Come on, this is intimacy. This is intimacy with God. I feel real special when I learn these little secrets. When I learn all these little special things, it's like, oh. Me and God shared all the secrets with me. It is hilarious. It's like, you know, when you have a secret with somebody, you look at each other and laugh a little, and it's like, yeah, we know. It gives you a whole new attitude in this weird world. Just a whole new attitude. All these confused people, all the confusion. I got the secret. We're wiser than the world.
Thank you, Lord.
We're wiser than the world.
Yeah.
We're on the in crowd.
Yeah.
We're the happy crowd because we have some inside info.
Glory.
And He will show them His covenant. Ooh!
Whoa!
God's going to show me the covenant. Come on, say it out loud. Say, He's going to show me the covenant. I get to know the covenant. Yay! Whoa, 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 whoa. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God.
Thanks, God.
Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. I go to bed thinking, ooh, thanks for the covenant. Show me the covenant. Yeah, show me all the blessing of the covenant. Glory, I get to know this. I get to know the special agreement with God, the special blessing, the special favor, the special blood-bought covenant.
Wow.
Who's He going to show it to? Is He going to show you? Is He going to show you? Don't answer that with your brain. Listen, don't answer those things with your brain. You just tell your brain. Listen, that's what we're doing. Say, brain.
Brain.
He's showing us the covenant. Come on, this is how you do. This is what faith does at home. When faith reads, faith says. All right? And then what happens is, it won't be long and you will believe it more. You won't just believe it on paper. It will be yours. You'll wake up without even having to read it and you'll be thinking, the secret's mine. The covenant. Glory to God. And you need to practice it until it's in you. That's what they do with football players or baseball players. You have to repeat the same motion over and over and over again so that when it comes game time, it's just second nature. They don't want you thinking on the playing field. You can't be thinking. It has to be so routine, you know exactly, your body and your mind knows exactly what to do. In the Lord, it's your spirit, mind, and body knowing exactly what to do because it's part of you.
All right. All right.
Psalm 32 is a good one. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Wow, wait a second.
Whoa.
Blessed is another word for happy or fortunate or set up for a blessing or anointed to prosper. Blessed just means blessed. Happy, doing well. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Okay, so everybody goes through challenges in life. And the only way to avoid challenges is to die. The only way to avoid trouble is die. Go to be with Jesus, right? So everybody has troubles and challenges, but happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. So no matter what your day was like or what you're facing, at night, say out loud to yourself, my transgressions are forgiven. I'm blessed. My transgressions are forgiven. I'm happy. Now, body, you shut up and be happy. Mind, you just shut up and be happy. I refuse to be depressed or lonely or upset or... I'm not going to keep on thinking all that other garbage. I'm just going to say this out loud. See, what's happening is your mind's thinking on the garbage.
Right.
Your mind is stuck in how somebody treated you or how things aren't going your way and how difficult tomorrow's going to be. Your mind's going this way and it will keep on. And it'll probably keep you up until you do something by faith. What are you going to do by faith? Because you know all the truth. I mean, you know all this stuff, don't you? Most of you know all this stuff. What are you going to do about it? You can't just think about it. The only way to stop your brain from thinking the wrong stuff is to say something. As soon as you say something, your mind can't keep thinking that. So in the middle of all the thoughts, you have to say, oh, I'm blessed. I'm just happy. I'm happy because my transgressions are forgiven. Oh, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. God doesn't even count my sins. He doesn't keep a list of my sins. He doesn't keep a list of my sins. Say it out loud. Practice it out loud right now. Say, God's not keeping a list of my sins. He's not tracking my immorality.
He's not tracking my immorality.
There's no record of it. Database been erased. Whoa. That means I'm happy. Transgressions are forgiven.
Therefore, I'm blessed.
I'm going to bed so blessed because I don't have any sin on my account. Now, some of you are just watching the practice. Listen. Some of you are just watching practice right now.
Uh-oh.
You're watching how everybody's doing it. Uh-oh. And you're thinking to yourself something. I don't know what you're thinking, but you're watching. Okay, what this means is, at home, you're going to still be silent. Uh-oh. Some of you think, well, I'll practice by myself. You probably won't. Because you're already establishing a routine for yourself, which is silence.
Oh, no.
And silent Christians don't get miracles. They just don't. Silent Christians never, never, never get miracles. No supernatural really gets to intervene very often on your behalf. even though you're so sweet and nice. If sweet and nice were the qualifiers for miracles, I'd have a bunch. I mean, my wife would, I mean, somebody in here would have, if sweet and nice were the qualifier for miracles, it'd be a lot different, wouldn't it? Praise the Lord. Okay, so that'll help you get through your sins and your transgressions and still and be happy and blessed. And use that. Use the fact that you're clean with God. Use the fact that He doesn't even remember your sins. Use that to make you happy, even if the bill is not paid yet. Even if the relationship with somebody is not perfect yet. Use that to keep yourself happy. Come on, that's what faith people would do. I'm happy in the Lord.
Amen.
Even in the midst of a storm and weird people.
Amen.
Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me. Okay, right there, there's a scripture. That's a scripture, right?
Yes.
That's a sentence from God. It's a word that He spoke to the human race by the Holy Spirit, particularly to His people. It's a word for every disciple. The Holy Spirit made this up.
All right.
And He had David pen it. David penned it because David said it himself. The Holy Spirit inspired David to say this out loud. I sought the Lord and He heard me.
Yeah.
That right there, that one scripture can stop you from saying, I've been talking to God and I don't know, He never hears, never says nothing. I just don't know what to do. I've been seeking the Lord and nothing. Why don't you turn that around and just simply out of your mouth, say it. Go ahead. I sought the Lord and He heard me. I sought the Lord and He heard me.
I sought the Lord and He heard me.
I'm seeking the Lord and He's hearing me. Okay. Do that for 7 days in a row. Convince yourself that God's hearing you when you seek Him. Because sometimes we all get in a little rut where it's like, well, is God even listening? The scripture said He is.
Right.
So say it out. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. And delivered me from all my fears. If you have any fears, if you recognize fears, go ahead and put it in the past tense. He delivered me from my fears. Here you got 15 fears that plague you every moment of every day.
Yeah.
Say it out loud. Say, I sought the Lord and He delivered me from all my fears. Delivered me from all my fears. Hello, fears. I'm delivered from you. I'm delivered from you. God delivered me from all my fears.
Yeah, all my fears. All my fears. Delivered me from all of them. All of them. All of them.
Come on, people need deliverance. That's one way to get delivered. Go ahead and find a scripture that will deal with your thing. And say it as if it's in the past tense. By His stripes I am healed. I was healed. I are healed. It's amazing what saying the truth does. At the cross, Jesus delivered us from sin, immorality, sickness, fear, anxiety. He delivered us there. Go ahead and say it.
He delivered me there.
He's already delivered me from all my worries. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear Him and delivers them. Wait. The angel of the Lord encamps where? The angel of the Lord is camping where? Where does He hang out? Where does He live? Where has He got His tent pegs? Where's the angel of the Lord? He's around me. He must be big. Why would I be worried if the angel of the Lord camps around about me? Why would I be afraid of anybody on the outside? So He camps around about me. So go ahead and say it. The angel of the Lord encamps around me. Because I fear God. Oh, and He delivers me. I'm delivered. So you can just simply say, I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm delivered, 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 delivered. No demon can mess with me. No demon can touch me. No demon in the house. No demon in the store. No demon can touch me. No demon from mom and dad. No demon from grandma. No demon can get me. Some of you who still believe in UFOs and aliens and zombies, you can just use it for that. Get yourself free from that. Look, nothing can get you. Nothing can get me. I'm covered. I'm covered. Nothing can, nothing. He encamps around about, well, he encamps around about me. I don't know about you, but he encamps around about me. I don't know if he encamps around you. But see, that's what faith people do. Faith people say, what are you talking about, bro? I got the same scripture you got. There, now we're talking. Now we're talking. See, faith people will take one scripture. What did you just say? You said the Lord put that sickness on you? What?
Nope.
You said I'm going to catch cold? What? Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Well, I trust in Him, so I must be blessed. Y'all see how excited Patrick gets?
All the time.
That's how excited you need to be getting.
Amen.
Patrick stays in the Word of God. He stays in the Word of God. It's not the first practice he's ever had. He can show you how to do it. He can show you how to run the route. He can show you how to swing the bat. He can do it. Fear the Lord, you His saints. There's no want or lack to those who fear Him. Y'all aren't near excited enough. There's no want or lack to those who fear Him. Whoa, 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 whoa. There is no lack. I have no lack. Do you know that when I left my business career, which was plenty of money and plenty of future and all that, do you know that I went to zero income for a little while? And then it was very tiny, tiny income. But do you know that in my heart and mind, I had already filled up with these truths. I already knew this. It was already part of me. So much so that I never went through any day. My mentality was never, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money. I never thought, never even thought it. I always thought I will have enough if I need it. Whatever I need money for, I'll have it. Now, I had a whole new purpose, so I wasn't looking for stuff and I wasn't needing money for wrong pursuits. I just knew for sure in my heart, if I needed the money, I got it. And you've heard me tell the gasoline story where I got over that. That was a little quick fight that it, oh my, and then I caught myself and realized, wait a second, I always have enough for everything. I have never in the past 20 years thought to myself, I don't have enough money. Don't have enough money. I hope we have enough money. I never have even thought it. Amen. I mean, you got to know, I'm telling you, I've never even thought that I don't have enough money. Amen. Never even thought it.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That's your goal. You can't even think. This has to take you over so much, you don't even think it. How can I? Because God will provide. There's no lack. I have no lack. I got every single thing I need today. And want. I don't even have any wants. I don't even have these pining away desires. Well, I just, one day I sure hope I get to. Well, one day we were talking about doing something financially and buying something, doing something, and we worked through it. We were thinking about it, and one day it's like, you know what? I don't even really want it. I don't even want to step out and use my. I don't even need to because I don't really want to do that. I don't want to buy it. Don't want to do that.
All right.
All my wants are covered. I don't sit here wanting something. Well, one day when we finally get the whatever, we'll do the whatever. I don't think that way. There's no lack to those who fear Him.
All right.
I mean, it says right here, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. There's no want to those who fear. There's no want. We don't have any wants.
No.
I got everything covered. Everything's covered. I know this is me and my God. My God, my Father, treats me this way. He promised me. I didn't make this up. He promised me these things. He said it. It's so clear, isn't it?
Yes.
When you camp on it for a little while, it's so clear. He said exactly what He meant to take care of you.
Wow, that's right.
You stand on it. You firm up on it. You say it out loud for 16 weeks in a row if you have to. You write it on your mirror. You put it on your desktop, scripture that you need, whatever it is, and you practice getting that in your soul. Say it out loud. Shout it out at the top of your lungs if you have to. Tell your flesh to shut up. Yeah. Certainly tell the devil to shut up.
Absolutely.
When you hear those other words that say, yeah, but you know how you are. Shut up! Yeah, but that's the pastor. Shut your mouth! This is covenant blessing. Covenant people, faith people get this. Has nothing to do with anybody in particular. God's no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith.
All right.
The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So there, I'm seeking the Lord, I won't lack any good thing. I'm seeking the Lord, I won't lack any good thing. Glory to God. For those of you been around in the Lord for a little while, if you start recognizing lacks or wants or gaps, maybe just check up on your seeking God. Check up on your seeking God bank account. Are you really seeking God anymore? Are you still seeking Him? Right. If you seek the Lord, you won't lack anything.
Amen. Wow.
Hey, I wouldn't tell you to do something I hadn't done before. I've caught myself. And it's like, ooh. Can't be seeking anything. Have to seek only the kingdom. And then all the things come.
Amen.
I mean, there's more scriptures to corroborate this, but you got to say it, stand on it, plan it, and practice it.
Yes.
Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Come on, practice that one. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous.
Amen.
What does that mean?
It's on me.
It says,
at me.
Woo! Yeah!
He's looking at me. Look, Dad.
The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Now, who's the righteous?
Me.
Those who are in Christ are the righteous. We've been made righteous. But you need to practice thinking, He's on me. He's watching me.
Yeah.
Now, some people don't want Him watching them. But when you need a blessing, you want Him watching you. Isn't that right? So why don't you just decide, the eyes of the Lord are on me. Ooh, He's on me. He knows exactly. He's bringing it right now. He's bringing it to me right now. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. His ears are open to my cry. Ooh, His ears are open to my cry. I can't promise He'll hear you, but He'll hear me. His ears are open to our cries. If you believe, do you believe that? Have you said it enough to really know it? Are you thinking that if you cried out to the Lord, if you asked the Lord, if you talked, boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His ears are open.
Amen.
You got to feel that His ears are open. Man, He's not neglected you. He's not delayed you. He's not, you know, holding off on you. He hears you. He's with you. But you got to know that. As soon as you know it, He'll do it.
Amen.
As soon as you really know for sure that your Heavenly Father will make good on a promise, He'll make good on His promise. And He knows. He knows if you know. He knows exactly how much you know. He knows how convinced you really are. He knows if you're a little bit uncertain. He knows if you're a little bit afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Praise the Lord. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. He delivers them out of all their troubles.
All my troubles.
All right, lift your hands up. Let's practice that one. The Lord delivers me out of all my troubles. Oh, no more trouble for me. He delivers me out of them.
He delivers me out of all my troubles.
Praise the Lord, I get out of all my troubles. No more troubles. I'm out of my troubles. I'm out of the troubles. He delivers me out of all my troubles. All right, stop there. Stop. Okay, as you're doing that, aren't you, every time you say the word troubles, something's coming to mind? Let it come to mind. Let something come to mind that's some trouble of yours. Let it come to mind. Let it come to mind, and then boom, there it went. He delivered me out of that one. Oh, boom, there went another one. Wow, he delivered me out of that one. Whoa, wow, delivered me out of that one. Wow. Now, it doesn't say he'll never let trouble come your way. It says he will deliver you out of your troubles. He promised troubles. He promised challenges. This world's going to give you plenty of tribulations. He'll deliver you out of all of them, all of them, all of them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Yeah.
So are you in trouble? No. I'm out of them.
Out of them.
I'm in trouble now. No, you're not. I'm not. Come on, you got to just decide. It's for you.
Amen.
The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, or a humble heart, you could think, and save such as have a contrite spirit. So keep yourself humble, and He'll be real close to you. Yeah. Go ahead and just decide. How many of you have a pride problem? If you ask somebody if they're humble and they say yes, they're not very humble, right? So, just decide, okay, you're not going to have pride. You're not going to be a prideful person. You're going to have a contrite spirit. You're going to be meek and lowly like Jesus. Right? Say it out loud. Say, I'm going to be meek and lowly. I'm going to be humble. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be sweet. Not weak. Humble doesn't mean weak. So you decide that. All right, let's finish up here. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now some people will put a period right there and agree and say, yes, I know. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Really? Yeah, it's so hard. The Christian walk is so hard. No, no. Many of the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Thank you, Lord, for delivering me out of all my afflictions.
He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Did you know that you could have that happen for you? That you never have to break a bone? Jesus did it. Jesus never had a broken bone. Because why? Because the righteous never have a broken bone.
It's all right.
Do you understand? Do you understand the power of these words? Okay, Jesus Christ fulfilled the Word of God. Every bit of it, every jot and tittle. Nothing was undone with Jesus. So much so, when He was hanging on the cross, they came by to break His legs, remember? Because that's what you do to help crucified people die quicker. And they found that He was already gone. To fulfill this prophecy, not one of His bones was broken.
Hey!
God's no respecter of persons. You decide you're the righteous and that you don't have to have broken bones, and you're then safe in a car crash. Can't promise the car won't be broken, but I can promise your bones don't have to be. Why don't you say it out loud? Say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
I'm keeping all my bones. Intact.
Intact.
Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. If you have children, you set the course in the family. Okay, I'm getting over into radical Christianity right here.
Amen.
I'm getting into radical faith living.
All right. Come on.
Okay?
All right.
It's either true or it ain't.
That's right.
It's either true or it's not true.
True.
Now, don't come up to me one day and say, well, it didn't work for me. Don't you tell me that. Don't you tell me that. We all may miss a few things in our own walk, but don't be trying to prove the scripture ain't right.
No way.
Don't try to prove it won't work for everybody. It'll work for anybody.
Right.
Anybody that can plant on it, hook up to God in it, convince themselves, and establish relationship with the Lord around it.
That's right.
Wow.
Amen.
You could do the same with Psalm 91. With long life will I satisfy him.
Right. Yeah, long life.
Yeah, but some Christians die soon.
No.
How come that didn't work for them? I don't know. But I know it can work for me.
Amen.
You following me? This radical stuff here, I ain't promising it for everybody. But I am promising it for those who can believe it.
Amen.
I believe it.
Can't promise it for everybody that hears it. I can promise it for everybody that believes it. Because all things are possible to him who believes it. And so this practicing we've done tonight is designed to help you believe it right.
That's right.
All right.
Believe it, respond to it, say it.
Amen. Yes.
It'll become you. The word will take you over. It's called the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls or mend your minds, help you think right.
Yes.
Faith people are thinking this way. Faith people think no lack, no broken bone. Troubles are gone. Delivered out of everything. Oh, I got a trouble? I got a trouble? No problem. He'll come through.
He'll deliver.
And you do it with a smile and a head held high. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad practice is over?
No.
Who wants a few more wind sprints?
You are.
All right. Just promise that you'll go practice on your own time. Come on. This is your responsibility. It's our own responsibility to go take some steps with our Father, with the Lord Jesus, following the Holy Spirit. Which scripture do you need? The Holy Spirit will show you. Which one leapt in your heart when we read it? That's the one the Holy Spirit would be leading you to work on and get it in you and rejoice around it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, don't fall into the trap where the devil gets to read the Bible with you.
No.
No.
What I mean by that is you read a promise and it sounds too good to be true and you think, I want to step out and believe that. Ooh. But then the devil says, yeah, but what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? That's going to be bad, isn't it? If it doesn't really work, oh man, you're going to try to believe God for something like this. What are people going to think? And what if it doesn't work? Don't read the Bible with the devil. Don't even read the Bible with your mind. Read the Bible with your spirit.
All right.
Read the Bible with your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Your spirit, Holy Spirit, read the Bible. Your mind's just kind of there to get cleaned. Your mind's just the pipe. We're going to clean out the pipe. Pipe's not important. Let's get my spirit man going here.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.